This is But You're Wrong, episode 47. I had to think about that for a second. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
What have you been up to, sir?
God. I wish I had more to talk about. I don't know.
Eating some lobster ravioli.
Yeah, lobster ravioli. Just everywhere. No, actually, I haven't had lobster ravioli in quite a while. Shame.
We should probably stop talking about inside jokes.
Yeah, yeah. That was a double entendre, because I have had neither for a little bit.
And if you're still not sure what we're talking about, then you're probably either Amish or our parents. So,
yeah. Or maybe just a woman. Women might not get those jokes.
Well, I think now they would.
Well, at this point, yes.
Anyway.
Speaking of the Amish, have you seen the commercials for this new show about the Amish?
Breaking Amish?
No.
Oh.
Amish Mafia?
No.
Oh, yes, sir. Amish Mafia. I'm not sure what network it's on. I bet it's like Innie or something. Let me see.
Amish Mafia. Because I've seen the show Breaking Amish, which we should talk about eventually. But
oh, it's Discovery Channel.
Ooh.
Since they dropped American Chopper after way too long.
And Man vs. Wild.
Oh, yes, they did, because he wanted a lot of... let's see. Oh, no, this is just a legitimate site called Amish Mafia. This has nothing to do with the show. Amish Mafia Discovery Channel.
So tell us about the Amish Mafia TV show.
This actually is not what the thing I was going to talk about. But I just thought of it when you mentioned the Amish, so I didn't have anything ready. But okay.
Well, I'm assuming you've seen the trailer.
I have.
Talk about it.
So
let's talk about that.
Well, basically, it's supposed to be about the guys who kind of police the mafia, their own police themselves in the Amish world. Okay. Let me see. I found a little article here. An Amish man with a menacing look juts out of a cornfield and fires off a shotgun round. Another wields a baseball bat and slugs at everything in his path. The images represent Discovery Channel's newly minted television series, Amish Mafia, which supposedly exposes the unseen workings of the Amish law enforcement in Lancaster County. Compared to the presumed peace and tranquility that exists among the Amish here, it all seems far-fetched and appears in the series trailer a little outrageous. Yet, it is the basis of Discovery's new reality show premiering December 11th. That is coming up.
That is.
I'm kind of curious. Like, do you think they go around to like the Amish businesses and demand protection money?
I think it's.
You know, they're like, hey, you just raised that bond last week. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. And then they kick over a butter churn.
I love how you say it with a Boston accent. Hey,
I don't know.
You just raised that bond over there.
I don't know how to do it otherwise.
Wouldn't want anything to happen to that bond, would you?
So what am I supposed to say? Barn?
Yeah, barn.
It's difficult to say. Barn. I don't like it.
Okay.
Barn.
Maybe Barnes don't like you. I'm sorry, Barnes. Maybe Barnes don't like you. I don't think, based on the little bit that you read, I don't think it's actually an actual mafia. I think it's just...
Well, let me see here.
I think they're like their own police force.
This guy's a sheriff in the county. His last name is Bright. That said, Bright, who has represented several Amish clients – oh, no, he's an attorney. I'm sorry – has noticed an increase in criminal acts in the community. I see more drug activity, maybe a few more occurrences of violence than I had 20 years ago, Bright said, referencing Amish communities here in Ohio. There is an undercurrent of activity in the Amish community, he said, but I do think it's too strong to label it mafia. Lancaster County District Attorney Craig Stebbins said Wednesday he isn't aware of a spike in crimes committed by Amish. Locals seem to agree that calling the players in the show Amish might be a stretch.
Ooh.
Ah. The focal character, group leader, Lebanon Levi, fantastic name, is called a full-fledged member of the Amish community. However, the description goes on to say Levi was never baptized and isn't a member of the church.
Ooh.
So what? So this guy's just some thug, but he's not... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this.
I don't know. I'll be watching it. I know that much.
I think I'm going to check it out.
You got to watch at least one.
Yeah. Well, you know, because we gotta talk about it at some point, but...
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I just saw this on the television. Actually, I saw it this morning. I saw a preview for it. It wasn't like a full trailer. It was just a real quick snippet of something. I didn't know too much about it, but the name clearly caught me.
Because you thought they were talking about you?
That is not what I thought. I don't know. I saw when I saw like the title screen there, it was just like Amish Mafia, and it shows like the guys. I mean, it just looked like a couple Italian guys just like with baseball bats and a shotgun. And I was like, I don't think these guys are Amish at all.
Yeah, they're probably not. Because there's a lot of different levels of Amish from what I know.
Yeah. They're probably more like you, as in being from New Jersey.
And living in Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
They're all actual mafia guys that went into witness protection, and then they ended up in the Amish country.
Yeah. And this is Nicky Angulo, wicked Amish guy.
This is what was the guy's name? Lebanon?
Lebanon Levi.
Yeah, this is Lebanon Knuckles Levi.
Knuckles. I love nicknames. There was some guy locally here. He was like in the Teamsters or something, and he was convicted of racketeering. And he was from Quincy, and his name was Jimmy the Bull, and then whatever is, you know, some Italian last name. But it was hilarious. Jimmy the Bull. Oh, ridiculous. But yeah, so I did want to mention something rather sad but noteworthy, and that would be Mr. Larry Hagman's passing.
Mm.
I was a big fan of Larry Hagman.
Really?
I was. Very big fan.
Dallas? Or?
Yes. I love Dallas.
Oh, I see. I've never seen Dallas at all.
Yeah, yeah. And he was the most noteworthy character on it, even though I think – Patrick Duffy was supposed to be like the star, but J.R. Ewing, who is Larry Hagman, was was really the highlight of the show.
Well, he was the who shot J.R. guy.
Exactly. I mean,
That inspired the well-known Simpsons Who Shot Mr. Burns?
Who Shot Mr. Burns, exactly. Yeah, and J.R. was the the main antagonist for the whole series.
Mm.
And he was the he was the oil man, and he was just rich and ruthless and conniving and just kind of the man. Like, he was one of those guys that you're just like, wow, he is such an asshole, but
you kind of want to be him.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone wanted to be JR. I mean, the dude, you know, he wore those big fucking hats and had a shit ton of money and had all sorts of women. And it's like, who wouldn't want to be J.R. Ewing?
Well, who did shoot J.R.? And why was J.R. shot?
It was Miss Ellie shot J.R. Hold on. I think that's who it was.
I thought you were a big Dallas fan.
Oh, dude, come on.
I'm just saying. I know who shot JR. I know that, but I just don't know. And is Dallas the one where Patrick Duffy wakes up and it was all just a dream?
There was a whole episode, not a whole episode, a whole season that was a dream, because Patrick Duffy wanted off the show, so they killed him off, and then they convinced him by the end of the season to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So in the very last episode, they had his wife wake up. It was at the very, because the show was known for the cliffhangers, so they had his wife wake up. And hears the shower running, and she goes to the shower and opens the door, and Patrick Duffy's in the shower, which is, you know, your dream, I know. And he just goes, oh, good morning, honey. And then it just ends. And it turns out that the whole season was a dream.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that was the best way to go about it, but... Let me see.
That's the whole season.
Yeah, I mean that's well. What was the show? The whole series was a dream, or no? Not a dream. It was like a made up thing by some kid in the snow globe.
Huh?
Oh damn it! What was that show? It was. Hold on.
Wait, there was a kid in a snow globe?
No. He had a snow globe.
And the whole show was took place in the snow globe?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was like he had like a snow globe and it was like some stupid kid. Well, actually no, Phil Hartman. No, not Phil Hartman. Newhart, Bob Newhart. That whole show was a dream.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then there was another one. Was it like St. Elsewhere or something? Was
I think you're thinking of St. Elsewhere because I just Googled
I think it was, yeah, I think it was St. Elsewhere was the kid with the snow globe, but Newhart was all a dream by Newhart. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a dream from him in the Bob Newhart show.
Yes,
because the Bob Newhart show came first, and then it ended, and then Newhart. Happened, and Newhart was him, like, in a ski lodge or something like that, right?
Okay. That sounds right.
And then I think he woke up, and then at the end of that show, he woke up, and he was back in the Bob Newhart show. Like, he was in bed with that wife.
Okay. That's weird.
And then wasn't, the final episode of St. Elsewhere titled The Last One ended in a context different from every other episode as the camera pulls away from the snow beginning to fall at St. Eligius. The scene changes to Donald Westfall's autistic son Tommy and Dan, an apartment building. Tommy's playing with a snow globe. Westfall arrives home from a day of work, and it is clear that he works in construction from the uniform he wears and from a conversation in the scene. Donald laments. Donald places a snow globe on the family's television set and walks into the kitchen with Tommy. As they leave the room, the camera closes on the snow globe. Inside is a replica of St. Eligius.
Yeah, I was going to use another term for the kid, but I decided not to. But yeah. Yeah, I thought that was it.
Individuals to determine how many television shows. Wait, one of the results of this has been an attempt by individuals to determine how many television shows are also products of Tommy Westfall's mind because of shared fictional characters, and it's called the Tommy Westfall universe.
Really?
Yeah. So wait, what other characters were in what?
Other than Mr. Feeny?
Characters. Oh, the St. Elsewhere characters: Dr. Roxanne Turner and Dr. Victor Ulrich. Ulrich appeared on Homicide: Life on the Street. Let's see. The argument of the Tommy Westfall universe is that because a fictional crossover, the two series arguably exist within the same fictional universe, and within Tommy Wiseau's mind because of the final episode of Saint Elsewhere. By extension, this hypothesis can therefore be extended to series ranging from the science fiction program The X-Files to the entire Law & Order franchise due to various crossovers with characters from the Homicide series, in particular Detective John Munch.
I mean, seems a little far-fetched just because St. Elsewhere wanted to end their series like that. But
well, no, I mean, it makes sense.
Well, no, it makes logical sense.
But, yeah, I don't...
That's just weird.
Wow.
By the way, JR was shot by his mistress, Kristen.
Oh.
It was also his sister-in-law.
Wait, his mistress was a sister-in-law?
Yes. That's yeah, no, weird. It's very, very messy. Because, yeah. You know what? I was thinking of Sue Ellen, but that was his wife. Sue Ellen was his wife. That was Kristen's sister. And Kristen claimed that she had a child with JR. But, man, I'm looking at the list here under romances. He fucked a lot of people in that show.
A lot of people or a lot of women?
Women.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe he fucked. Maybe fucked some guys. I don't know.
And he had under children 5 children, three of which don't have names. First one, unnamed child, aborted. James Beaumont, John Ross Ewing III, unnamed child, miscarriage, and then unnamed son.
Wow.
That's pretty bad when the majority of your children never receive names.
Yeah, it happens. The other show that was a that I remembered was a dream kind of thing was Roseanne.
Was it really?
The final season. I think it's the final season of Roseanne. Turns out to be either a dream or like a fantasy, because in the final season they win. I think they win the lottery, but I think that at the end of the season before that, the husband has a heart attack.
Yeah, doesn't John Goodman die?
Yeah. Well, he has a heart attack, but he doesn't die.
Oh, he does. Okay.
At some point he has a heart attack, and then they end up winning the lottery, and then the final episode, they find out that the show is just a story written by Roseanne, or is like a fantasy made up by her, and she twists everything around. So like, they don't win the lottery. The husband actually dies after the heart attack, and some other stuff happens too.
That's terrible. So,
like some other stuff is different, but yeah, like that. That's another. Oh, this is.
It's not real.
Yeah.
I was never a fan of Roseanne. I mean, not even just because of Roseanne Barr. Like, I just never liked the show, and I was always much as far as the white trash shows go. I was always a big Married with Children fan.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I never really watched Roseanne. I know that because I remember reading a story somewhere about, like, the final episode being a dream or something. I watched some Married with Children. I recently started rewatching it, and it's not quite as funny as I remember it being.
Oh, well, I mean, it was... it's I mean, the thing was, there were some bad episodes of Married with Children.
Yeah.
But... there was a lot that was, I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering it a little bit through rose-colored glasses, just thinking about how much I enjoyed it back in the day. I don't know. It still had some great moments, and it was actually the original of those shows, like the white trash family shows.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's part of the thing. It's so good, partially because it started a whole thing.
Yeah, and the only thing was is that at that point when it first started, no one knew what the hell Fox was, and most people didn't even get it.
Yeah.
So no one even really had one of those shows until Roseanne came out, and I believe was Roseanne on ABC.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't until Married with Children much later, and then obviously The Simpsons until Fox was even, you know, noteworthy.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Larry Hagman, I think my first real introduction with him was I Dream a Genie.
Yeah.
Which as a kid was one of my favorite shows. I don't know how much you watched it as a kid.
I watched it some as a kid. You know, I think I liked it, but I didn't. I think I like Bewitched more.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? When it comes down to it, I think Bewitched was probably the better show. Or at least until Darren number one left.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it was not good.
Yeah. I like in Bewitched. And wait, was Larry? Which one was Larry Hagman? Which one was he?
Who, Larry Hagman?
Yeah.
Larry Hagman was the main guy.
He was the main guy, right?
I Dream a Genie, yeah. Not the friend.
Who was the friend?
The friend was, I think, Bill Daly. Let me see. Yeah, Bill Daly was his name.
He was, okay. Because he was the guy that every time, like, he would see her, and then, like, he would go back, and he'd be like, but she was, and I was, and she was right here, and I just, oh, and then he would just, like, leave.
Yeah, eventually, his name was, what was his name? Roger Healy was his name in the show. And yeah. He was kind of let in on the whole secret. And I think he was the only one other than Larry Hagman that knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Bewitched was the better show. I always enjoyed I Dream a Genie more. I think that was partially just because I was fascinated with space and astronauts as a kid. So mm-hmm. I just liked I Dream a Genie because they were astronauts. But yeah, Bewitched was good until Dick York left and then Dick Sargent took over.
Yeah.
And it was definitely partially because Dick Sargent was, I mean, clearly a homosexual, and that's fine, but you just knew he wasn't interested in Samantha at all.
Mm-hmm.
You were like, this guy doesn't like her. They're not married.
There is no way.
There's no sexual attraction here. Yeah.
I think I had more of a thing as a kid for Samantha than Jeannie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know. I like the genie. I think she was exotic.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's what scared me. Maybe I wasn't open-minded as a kid.
Huh. Yeah, I can see it.
I mean, I don't really have an answer, so. I don't know. I was a kid. I have no answer. What do you want from me?
I do know one interesting thing I remember about I Dream a Genie was that they caught a lot of flack because they were not married.
Mm.
And like they never showed them in bed or anything, but
they did act like a married couple.
Right. And it was basically assumed that they were sleeping together. But,
you know, I don't think I ever assumed that, but.
Well, yeah, but you were probably like six.
Well, yeah.
But I think a lot of other people were just like, well, this is not right because clearly there's some shenanigans going on and they are not wed. So eventually they had them get married, which, I mean, to be honest, I don't even remember how that worked.
Some weird genie wedding.
Yeah. I feel like it would be a lot like a gypsy wedding.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably, like, throw bugs at you when you walk out of the church instead of rice.
Is that what happens at a gypsy wedding?
I don't know. I just imagine it's weird. They just grab, like, a big jar of cockroaches.
I don't think that's what happens at all.
I don't know. Gypsies are weird.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
But anyways.
All right, you want to move on from Larry Hagman?
Sure. So, what is going on with you, Mr. Keith?
Let's see. What we didn't record last week, due to some, we'll say, technical difficulties.
Yep.
So 2 weeks ago, well, this past weekend I was in New Jersey for Thanksgiving. And the weekend before that, though, I went back to Penn State for a football game. And that was a, we'll say, interesting experience.
So did you actually go to the game, or did you kind of hang out and, you know, did you just Sandusky it?
We actually went to the game because every year all my college friends and I pick a weekend to go to tailgate and meet up for a game. And most people go to the game. We weren't originally going to go, and then there were extra tickets, so we went. But we always pick a weekend to, like, tailgate anyway, and then if people don't go, then they go downtown and watch the game at a bar.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, a bar for you.
Thank you, you patronizing son of a bitch.
Wait, you were the one complaining about bonds before. Barn versus bond.
It's so. Too hard to say barn.
Well, then,
anyways.
How do you say bar?
Bar.
Yeah, exactly. People at home know what I'm talking about, so. So we ended up going to the game, played a great game. I'm very proud of Penn State this year. Despite all the bullshit and all the people saying, oh, they'll win like two games, we actually won eight. So good job for them, despite, you know, all the changes and all the naysayers and all the people turning coat and running. But it was weird because I realized that 9 years ago, I was a freshman.
Oof.
And I've now been out of college longer than I was in college. And it's just, it's weird. Because I don't feel that far removed from it. But then I think about the numbers and I'm like, that was a really long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Lately, I've been thinking about that kind of stuff too. Just last night at my second job, we were discussing how long it's been since certain things have happened, and feeling a little bit old.
Yeah, like it's not that I know I'm not old, but like
you're feeling the passage of time.
I'm getting older. Like I know I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And, like, it was really obvious, too, because, like, everybody got in Friday night. Mm-hmm. And we were just kind of hanging out, goofing off, having some beers at the house, because we rent a house there. Like, people just rent their houses for the weekend. It has enough room to sleep, you know, like 11 or more people.
Right.
So we're just hanging out. And then the game, last year, like, Friday night, everybody got in, and then we all went out downtown and got back in because the game, I think, was at night, or it was at like a weird time, like in the afternoon. Okay. But this game was like a noon game. So we were all kind of like, oh, well, all right, well, so I guess we'll all kind of just go to sleep because we have to be up to get to the tailgate and then go to the game.
Right.
So we do that, and then we get to the game. We have some drinks before the game at about 9:45-ish.
Some sodas.
Well, somebody brought champagne and, made mimosas, but they only brought one bottle of champagne, so there wasn't enough to go around. So I said, well, that's fine. I'll just have a beer. And then halfway through the beer, I decided to pour some orange juice in it to see what it would taste like. And it actually wasn't bad.
What kind of beer? Just regular?
Just like regular light beer.
Light beer, yeah.
Yeah. We were trying to figure out what to call it, and I said I would call it a scurvy preventer, but that's a really long name. And then later on, I said I wanted to call it a manmosa, but I think that might already be a thing. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is or not. But I might have accidentally created something that already invented that was already invented. So
yeah, I feel like I do that all the time.
And, wait, have that drink or
no? create something that already exists. Like I thought at one point that I invented the idea of having a picture, a digital picture frame that would do a slideshow. And I told someone my idea, and they were like, no, those exist. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I have the best idea. I'm going to be a millionaire.
And then you were like, oh, shit.
Exactly.
At least you didn't dump any money into trying to develop it before you found out.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Like, you actually worked to try and invent it, and then you see it at somebody's house, and you're like, oh, no. I've wasted my life.
As opposed to a regular day when I haven't wasted my life.
Well, yeah, I guess either way would have been fine. I guess at least the other way you actually thought you would have done something for a while.
Yeah, I would have felt good for a little bit as opposed to now.
So we had those, and then we went to the game, and then afterwards we had some food at the tailgate, had some more beers, just a couple though, because we had to drive back. And then we got back to the house. I'm going to say at like 6:45, we started like heavily drinking. Because we were like, okay, well, we'll just stay in the house and then just hang out, play some games, drink a lot, and, you know, stay up till whenever.
Yeah.
And we were starting to doubt because we were like, wait a minute. Like, we've had a lot to drink and it's only like 8 o'clock. So how late are we? Or... yeah, it was at like 8 o'clock, and we're like, how much are we really going to drink? Actually, no, hang on. I think I'm off on the times, because I think game started at 12:30, probably, what, 3 hours? So we probably started drinking before 6:45, and we were playing games, and then we realized, like, it was only, like, 7 o'clock.
Right.
And then we were like, how long are we really going to last at this rate?
Yeah. Sometimes you get to that point, you're just like, oh, man, I'm this drunk already?
So I forget exactly what time, because I wasn't thinking about it.
Right. You were trying to have a good time.
Yes, but we just kept going. Pretty much all of us stayed up till probably, I'm going to say like 11:30 maybe. And then a lot of people were like, well, I'm kind of done. And we were also being responsible. Like, we were like, I literally can't fit any more beer in my system right now. But we still kept playing games, except like you would switch and do like a couple rounds with water or something like that. Because you literally couldn't fit any more carbonated beer in your stomach, otherwise you would throw up.
Right.
Because we've learned this in our years of existence.
Exactly. Or hopefully.
So we would switch off and on or whatever, and then we were like, well, you know, like, I'm kind of done. We went to sleep. I guess some people stayed up talking till like 1:30. A couple of the girls did. I don't know what they were talking about.
Yeah, they never shut up.
They both recently got married, I think, the ones that stayed up. So I think they might have been talking about that, but I don't know.
Thought they were in a hair salon and they just talked and talked and talked.
Yeah, I guess so. They were like, oh, we're talking to 1:30 about, you know, how we got our nails done for a wedding and things like that. So we crash probably somewhere around midnight is like when I crashed or whatever. And, I mean, we did a good bit of drinking. But the next day... we all got up. I would say we were up by like 8 or 9. Like, we were up relatively early. And people were like, oh, isn't that sad? Like, we couldn't stay up that late. Like, oh, man, it's so sad that we went to sleep. And I'm just like, no, like, I had a good time last night. Did you not have a good time? Because I had a great time. Like, a lot of fun stuff happened. I made some great jokes while playing Kings. Like, I don't know where you were. I was fucking hysterical. I pissed a couple off because you ever play King? Have you played Kings?
Yes.
Do you play with questions? Because everybody plays Kings by different rules.
I don't think so, no.
So for our version of Kings, and because everybody plays by different rules, we've decided on like house rules for Kings on this occasion. And it's pretty much always the same. Queen is questions. So what you have to do is, because you're all standing in a circle already, you look at somebody and you ask them a question, and then they have to look at somebody else and ask them a question. And it just keeps going until somebody messes up.
Okay. Yeah, I have played like that before.
If I get the question, I'm ready for, like, the first round. But if somebody else, like, comes back and looks at me, that's when I start to panic. So I prepare the question in my head, and then I just pick somebody last minute to shoot this question to. But I go for, like, the bizarre stuff, because everybody's like, what are we playing? When did you get here? How are you today? Like, they ask, like, silly, like...
Yeah, stuff that's easy to come up with.
And then I look at somebody, and this is what I did. I looked at the girl in the couple, and I said, I think I said something like, is it true you don't swallow? And she just stares at me and was like, oh, you son of a bitch. And then she drank. And then it came up again later in the same game, and... It came to me, and then I looked at, and I knew what my question was going to be, and then I saw her boyfriend, and I knew this would be great if I asked him based on my previous question. So I said, is it true you guys don't do anal? And I, he, for his credit, laughed and then looked at somebody else immediately and asked them a question. And that everybody was still laughing based on my question, so somebody eventually messed up, and it didn't come back to me. But I was like, hang on, time out. Dude, I am so sorry. That was way funnier if I asked you than anybody else, so I had to. Like, I couldn't help myself.
Good work.
But the next round, the next question round, the girlfriend looked at me and goes, is it true you're a douchebag? And I said, yes, I am, and then I drank.
I like that you didn't even bother to try to keep it going.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? I deserve that. I'll take it. Roll. But like, I had a we had a fun night. It's just that our version of fun has now changed.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't. And here's the other deal. I think a lot of people, they associate, like, for instance, staying up late, and they're just like, oh, well, you know, we don't stay up till 3 anymore or 4. And it's like, yeah, we used to do that. But, like, also, like, when we used to stay up till 4 in the morning, we used to get, like, retardedly drunk and stupid. And, like sometimes it went beyond being fun, like, where it just became, like, absurd and everyone was throwing up because they couldn't hold their alcohol or they didn't know their limits. And then you look back and you kind of forget all the bad stuff because you're reminiscing and you're like, oh, man, we had so much fun. We used to stay up till like 5 in the morning all the time, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, we used to, but it wasn't always great. And like, there was a lot of shit that went along with it. Plus, like, that doesn't dictate how much fun you actually had. You also probably didn't start drinking. Well, no, I don't know. I was going to say you didn't start drinking early. You probably did. But it's like, as you get older, you know, a little bit of moderation goes a long way. You can still go and get fucking drunk. Like, I love getting drunk. But, you know, sometimes you just, you know when to stop and say, you know what, I'm going to be drinking tomorrow too. I'm going to stop now so that I can have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, and, like, the other thing is, like, okay, so we didn't go downtown, but, like, do we want to be those people that are, like, downtown, like, trying to recapture what we used to do? Because I'm trying to think of, like, what I used to do when I would go downtown. Yeah. And, like, I would just get hammered and dance with a girl if I had a girl, or try to dance with other girls to pick up a girl, but now it's just weird, and, like, most of us are married or engaged or have a serious relationship, so we're not going there to pick up people. Like, we would just be, like, that random group where you're like, I feel like they're kind of older. Like, we're not that old that it's that, like, creepy.
Yeah.
But we're at that point where they're like, are they grad students? Are they not grad students? I don't know. Like, it seems kind of weird that they're, you know, dancing at this club and... Like, I'm more just like, let's just hang out and, like, crack a few, crack some jokes and things like that and do, like, funny shit and not be retarded, for lack of a better word.
And you also, you got to take into account, like, the idea of, I don't know, I feel like knocking yourself out of commission for a weekend, yeah. You know? And I used to do that all the time because it was like I didn't have any responsibilities. And I would just get so nuts on Friday night that I was just a worthless human being for the next day and a half.
Yeah, like you could get hammered on Friday, go to sleep at like 5 a.m., sleep until, you know, the end of brunch at like 2, go pick up some brunch at the Commons, and then go back to sleep and sleep until like 8 o'clock, and then you got ready to go out again. Like, you could do that and spend the entire Saturday recovering because you didn't have anything else to do, really.
Exactly. It was fine, but I can't do that now.
No. It's not possible, but the thing is, like, just accept that we're getting older and, like, just accept that. I mean, I had a great time. It was just different than the great time that I used to have.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know what? You're an adult. Act like an adult.
I drink coffee now, okay? I fucking drink coffee.
You drink coffee. You know what? You get drunk, but make sure. And here's the other thing. You're old enough now that you know that if you want to drink and you want to drink again tomorrow, you got to plan accordingly because you do not have the energy that you used to have and you do not have the time to sleep that you used to have. So if you plan on drinking and getting shit-faced 2 days in a row, make sure you think about it first.
Yeah.
I know I do.
I wouldn't be the guy that gracefully ages. I still have fun. I still have a great time, but like, I know that things can't be how, you know, they used to be, so. Because I want to say it was either sophomore or junior year. I think it was towards the end of sophomore year, I'm going to say. I was going to this party with a girl I was dating at the time, and we had to pick up somebody on the way to the party. Like, we weren't driving, we were just walking. But her friends wanted to show up with us.
Yeah.
So we stop at this people's house, and they're not quite ready yet. So they're like, oh, come on in, have a beer, like, hang out. So we're there, and there's this slightly older guy. And now, I thought he was, like, an older guy then. But I think he was younger than I am now, I'm sure. He was probably, like, a fifth-year senior, or maybe, like, slightly into grad school. He wasn't that old, he just seemed slightly out of place.
Yeah.
And, like, he was down there, and on whatever playlist they were doing, the Britney Spears song Toxic came on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's sitting there with just, like, a pitcher of beer, and he's like, oh, man, I love this song. And he turns it up, and he starts singing along with it, and I'm like, he's just a little, like, too old for this behavior. Because he's not going out. Like, it's not like he's pre-gaming. Like, this is he's staying in, but this is his night. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Where are you guys going? Oh, cool. That's great. Like, I was like, oh, that's just, he seems older than he is. And it's just, it's just weird. Like, I just
hanging out, listening to Britney Spears, just yeah. Getting shit-faced by himself.
Like, maybe I don't remember. Maybe somebody was staying in with him. But the way I remember, he wasn't going out. Like, he was just kind of hanging out. And he's like, ah, man, I love this song. I'm like, you are so, you, like, he's too into it to be cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, this is what the cool kids are listening to, right? Yeah, I love this song.
Yeah.
And he was younger than me. So I'm like, I gotta just, like, not do shit like that.
Yeah, you know, it's a sign of being wise and growing up that you don't want to be like that. You know, you like to have fun. I love to have fun. You want to drink? I drink. You know, you be smart about it and don't be a fucking loser. Because the thing is that you've seen too many losers. In the past, you've seen too many of them to know that you don't want to be like that. But there's too so many people who just, they don't get it. They think that's cool. Or they think, oh, yeah, I got to keep living my glory days. It's like, you know, the more and more you do that, the more the glory days are going to be gone. Just,
because you don't want to be that guy. Where were we that, I'm trying to remember, we were at a bar in where Andrew used to live with the guys, and we go out on the roof.
Yeah.
In Alston. Okay. I'm trying to remember. It was like the real hipster bar, but it was actually cool that night.
The model.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the night they were playing all hip hop.
Yeah, they had a great playlist that night. But there was one guy in like the corner of the dance floor that was just wearing this like cable knit sweater.
Oh, the old guy, yeah. Yeah.
But he wasn't that old. He was probably
in his 30s. I mean, he was only a few years older than us, I guess.
Yeah, he was probably in his 30s, but like he was just in the corner of the dance floor wearing a cable knit sweater, and I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
No.
I refuse to be him.
Yeah. No, he was just a not fun man that was still going out, trying to hang out with kids that are younger than him, and just failing miserably at it.
And it wasn't
that
even
was
like,
that guy's legacy.
Yeah, and he wasn't dressed appropriately either.
No, even for a hipster bar.
He was like, I'm going to dress like I'm 30, but I'm going to go out like I'm much younger and just creepily stand in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
No. There's a lot of people at that place that I wouldn't want to be. That guy is pretty much by the top of the list.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just bad. Like, just see, the thing is, like, I think staying in and just having fun with my friends who I see, like, some of them I see literally once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Because we're all spread out. Like, just staying in, having fun, cracking jokes, reminiscing, drinking, playing games, whatever. I think that's more fun than just trying to go out and be like, go out to a loud club where you can't hear each other. You don't really have a reason for being there. Because clubs are really just about picking up people.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a relationship, there is no reason for you to go to a club. Like, if you're in a serious relationship, like you're engaged or you're married, you have no business being at a club.
Yeah. No, you're right. The only place that you should be going is just, like, a bar.
Just go to a bar. Just hang out.
If you want to go out, go to a bar. Someplace kind of low key.
Yeah.
Because you go to one of those clubs and it's just a lot of sexual tension built up.
Yeah. Because otherwise you're just hanging out and you found one of like the five tables that they have. And then you're just literally trying to have a conversation. And it's just all distorted. And it's like, and then the person can't understand what
you're saying. Excuse me, sir, are you underwater?
Yeah, exactly. And it's terrible. And then they start doing the strobe light, and everything seems in slow motion, which is really cool at one point. But then later on, you're just like, I just wanted to see how his mom was doing after she had fought cancer. So that's all I wanted to find out. But now,
once you've been drinking, those strobe lights are no good.
Well, at this point, yes.
All right. Well, when you've drank too much,
at one point they were good. Now you're just like, I was just seeing how his mom was doing. That's all I wanted to know. It's just so bad. I had a run in. And hang on, I gotta figure out how to tell the story so that I can edit it together and still have it make sense. So I had a run-in with a girl I used to date at a bar that I don't know if you were there for that. It was somebody's like farewell from.
Okay.
And I had just gotten there. I had like a couple beers and that was it. But she apparently had a lot more because she was there longer, I guess. I don't know. It was like the first time we actually talked since we stopped seeing each other. It was at I can't remember the name of the bar. It's the one in Quincy on the
Murphy's?
No, it was on the shore.
Beachcomber.
No, it wasn't the Beachcomber. It was on,
Water Club.
Maybe it was the Water Club. I think it was the Water Club.
Marina Bay?
It was Marina Bay, yeah.
Yeah, Water Club. Yeah, or Ocean Club, but probably Water Club.
I think it was the Water Club. She comes up to me and goes, oh, it's so good to see you. Because she was on her way out, so she was making goodbye. She was saying her goodbyes, and then she said goodbye to somebody right next to me. So then she had to acknowledge that I was there, because I guess she had to.
Time to be an adult.
And I mean, she's drunk. And then she was like, oh, how are you? And blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, how are you? And she's like, okay. And then she brings up the fact that her mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's like, and then that brings up the odds for me to have it. And I was like, okay, this isn't what I expected at all. I feel bad because I met your mom once. Very nice woman. Have nothing against your mom. I feel bad, but like, this was not at all what I expected when you were like, oh, hi, it's good to see you. How are you? I figured I would return the pleasantry, and then you start talking about this, so I don't know.
They're like, do we have to talk about this?
Yeah, I was like, I'm so sorry. That's terrible. And she was like, no, it's okay. I'm good. And I was like, oh, God, just how do I get out of this?
Like, I was more concerned about your mother, not you. Thanks.
not even that. Like, I'm not that mean.
No, I know you wouldn't say that, but
I wouldn't even think that, though. I wouldn't even be like, well, I hope you die of cancer. I mean, maybe initially when you know, a chick breaks up with me, I'd be like, fuck you. But afterwards, I'm just like, eh, whatever. I'll move on. If she was like, I have cancer, I wouldn't be like, good, serves you right. That's just mean. That's terrible.
Unless it was like the first week after the breakup, then it's like, fuck you, good.
I think after the first day, I wouldn't be like, I hope you die of cancer.
Oh, okay. See, I'm vindictive for about 7 days.
I don't know. I mean, it's honestly, it's been so long. I'm just hypothesizing on how I would react. I don't really remember. I don't know where the fuck I was going with the story.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm sorry.
But it's like, why get that drunk and just bring the party down? I guess maybe is what I was saying. I don't know. Just, well, like
it's not good.
Because the Water Club is kind of like a party atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not so much a laid-back thing. It's more like a people come here to get drunk, and then they kind of leave here and give or receive blowjobs.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, is that not accurate?
I don't know. I think I was at the Water Club twice. So I don't have an accurate frame of reference for that.
I haven't been there a ton.
But one day you left and received a blowjob from Marco, so.
I'm just saying that, you know, you go to the Water Club, a blowjob might be in your future. It might not be in your future. I don't know.
No, you know what? I do. Times I have been there, I have known people to leave with somebody in order to I don't know if just a blowjob was on the table or if other things were on the table. I can't say for sure. I did not follow them.
It could have been a full-fledged fucking.
I mean, yeah, I mean they could have, you know, connected in that way that God intended, or they could have just, you know, made out a little bit and jerked somebody off. I mean, which is kind of shitty, considering that I'm sure somebody spent like $10 to buy them two drinks, but or probably $20 to buy them two
drinks. I was going to say that's not that bad for the Water Club.
I'm sorry, I was going by Pennsylvania prices. But yeah, like I feel like it doesn't work anymore to reach that age and be like, well, I'm just gonna, you know, go nuts. No, just have fun in a different way. Just have a good time in a different way. Don't try to recapture whatever you were doing. Cause it's just, you're gonna look sad.
You know what? It reminds me of a saying, and that is, the good old days aren't as great as they seemed, and the future isn't as bad as it looks.
Hmm. So what you're saying is you shouldn't
stop trying to live in the past.
stop trying to live in the past. Stop.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, you know what? Maybe something in there should be our closing.
That's not a bad idea.
Because I always say, no regrets. That's a personal motto of mine. Because it's stupid to spend that much time regretting anything that you did wrong. Because in college, I would regret things that I did before a certain point. I would say probably junior year I realized this. But I would spend time actually regretting things that I did before that point.
Right.
But that's stupid. Because you can't change anything. It happened.
What's past is past.
It's a thing that happened. There's no way to go about it. And it's even proven now because when I was back at Penn State, I was thinking about it. And freshman year, I took an English class on short story writing.
Mm.
I did great in it. And the teacher was real encouraging of my talent and said, you know, you're really good at it. I want to discuss the story in class. It shows a lot of maturity. Front of the class, he said, you know, I think one day we could see Keith, you know, published like a short story of his or this or whatever. So I had always kind of, for some whatever reason, I never went into English as my major.
Right.
And I always kind of regretted that to a certain extent. And I was like, well, I just won't regret it. But then recently I was thinking like, man, if only I had done that, like things might have been different. But then I was thinking about it more and like, if I had done that, I would have met my fiance now. Chances are I probably would not have ended up in Boston, and I probably wouldn't have worked for the company that we both worked for, and I probably wouldn't have met you, and then this podcast would probably not exist.
Yeah.
So, like, major things in my life would be completely different than where I'm at now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
no, and you know, that's the thing. You can always look back and be like, and think of possible positives and be like, oh, well, you know, I could have done this. I could have gone here. I could have seen that, or, you know, but it's like, you don't really know if that would have happened, but you do know the positives that you do have are directly attributable to the choices you have made.
Yeah.
So that's something that you should try to hang your hat on and be like, you know, I know this person, I'm close with that person, I've been successful in this area, and that's close, that's, you know, I can directly say that's based upon the choices that I've made.
Mm-hmm.
And all those other things that I say, oh my God, you know, I could have saved a bunch of money, I could have done this, I could have done that, you know, it's like, well, I mean, you could have, and maybe you would have.
But you could potentially be in a completely different place. Things could be completely different for you if you did that. But then also looking back and idealizing where you were is also bad. So maybe we should borrow a note from our friend Black Swan or Shadow and just say, no regrets, no reminiscing.
No, I don't think no reminiscing. I don't know about that.
No.
Reminiscing's good.
No idealizing?
No.
I don't know. What would,
it's better.
What would the thing be? Because you're idealizing the past.
Hmm. I don't know.
Maybe no regrets is a start.
I think you still need to work on it.
All right. It's a start. I think we might be discovering something.
I think we're making some headway.
Maybe no regrets, no something else.
Yeah.
Don't live with regrets and something else.
Yeah. No, I honestly, I think we're on the right track. I think it's a saying that would fit both of us.
Yeah, you got to keep looking forward.
Exactly. Life.
It's like a box of chocolates.
And this is kind of stolen from Annie Hall. It's like a shark. You must move forward, or you will die.
Be the shark.
Yeah, we can come up with something better than that.
But we're close. We're so close. All right.
Don't worry, it's coming.
And this we'll dive into this next episode.
Sounds good.
All right, so we got some concepts here.
Yeah, I think so. This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodella.
Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/butyourewrong. Check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. And check out Keith's book, Work in Progress, and his short stories, Not My Problem, available for the Amazon Kindle. And have a great week, and check out all our episodes on iTunes and Stitcher.